We'll talk about something different today, besides Advent. From Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. What I want to focus on is a particular phrase in here, and it is sometimes worded a little bit differently in other translations, but it is upholding all things by the word of his power. Some translations say by his powerful word, the power of his might, or some such thing. But the correct translation is as it is in here, by the word of his power. And you might say, well, what's the difference between the word of his power and the power of his word? Well, I'll explain as I go along that there is a significant difference to that. It is truly the word of his power. In order to understand it a little bit better, and ultimately to understand the significance for us, let's go to Matthew 26, 62 to 64. And I've also listed here as a reference Luke 14. No, one of them should be Mark, because there are three Gospels that record the same thing. One of these is a type. One is that it's probably Mark 14 and Luke 22. But it is three Gospels record this exactly the same way, maybe expanding, you know, more words, one less words with another, but it still says the same thing. And the high priest arose and said to him, and this is when Jesus had been taken prisoner and brought to the high priest for him to question Jesus just before his crucifixion. And the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Notice that it does not say sitting at the right hand of God, sitting at the right hand of the Father, or anything else, but sitting at the right hand of the power. Do you remember in the Gospel of John, I believe it is? I may be wrong, but where it says God is love. Remember that? God is love. It's not that God has love, or God expresses love, or God shows love in some way. It's that God is love. It's more than just his nature. It's what he is. He is love. And in the same way, it's not that God has power, or that God uses power or appropriates it or whatever. God is power. Okay? In the same way that God is love, God is power. It's not that he is a powerful being. We always think of it in those terms. And maybe if I'm rich, I have financial power. Or maybe if I have celebrity, I have the power to influence. Or maybe because of a certain position, if you're a congressman or something, you have the power to influence. That's something that you possess. God does not possess power. He is power. And it's important to understand that. Okay? Power sits on the throne. God is power. Now, let me take this a little step further by giving you an example. You're all familiar with check writing, right? You all write checks. You have a bank account. You write checks. Okay. Does that check have any, does that piece of paper that is the check, does that have any value in itself? It's not money, is it? It's not legal tender. It is not cash. It's a piece of paper that has your name on it, your address, your phone number, your financial institution, and some other numbers that relate to your account and whatever. But in and of itself, that piece of paper has no value. It represents money that you have in the bank. Okay? The money that represents is not in my possession. It's in the bank. Okay? It's mine, but it's in the bank. Okay? I have access to it because of my relationship to the bank. It belongs to me. The bank is just holding it. I have access to it because I have established a relationship to the bank. And it's important to remember these things. Okay? So the bank holds it for me. The funds are dispersed according to my instructions as written on the check. I indicate on the check who the money is to be going to, for what purpose. I have a little memo line on the bottom that I can indicate, but in most cases it's to pay a bill, right? Okay. So that check accomplishes the purpose that I have intended for it. It's not cash, but what it does is it actually is the mechanism by which the cash that is in the bank is transferred from the bank to the purpose I have designated for it, to pay the bill. Okay? And the checks are accepted on the basis of the bank's authority. Okay? I can't print a bank's name on there. It has to be a legitimate bank that is established, that's known and recognized as a financial institution, and that has the resources to back up the check. So the check is only good because of the authority of the bank behind it. Okay? Everybody follow that along good? Now, keeping all of that in mind, okay? Everything is upheld by God, by the word of his power. Power is on the throne. Think of it in terms of the bank, okay? We use a check based on the bank's authority to transfer money for the purpose that I intend. What does God use? God uses words that actually transfer his power. There is no power in the word itself, okay? But the words that God uses are based on his authority, and they transfer power from him to accomplish that for which he intends his words for whatever purpose. Think about it in the very beginning in Genesis. And God said, let there be light, right? Let there be an earth. Let there be light in the heavens. God said, it was always, and God said, and God said, and God said. Okay? In the same way as a check is used to transfer money and applied to a given purpose, words are used to transfer God's power to accomplish some purpose of his. Okay? The words themselves do not have the power. Okay? They are a mechanism. Now you might say, well, okay, but what does this mean to me? Why is it important? Why do I need to understand that principle? Why do I need to understand it? Let's first go to Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Nowhere does it say God sends his power or whatever. He sends his word forth. And he says, my word will accomplish that for which I send it. It will not return to me void. In the same way that your check does not return to you void, but it accomplishes the purpose for which you wrote it. Okay? So again, what does that mean for me? Think about this. You're all believers, right? You have acknowledged Jesus as Lord and Savior. You have invited him into your heart. Who is it that dwells within you? God himself. Right? God himself dwells within you. The same power that is sitting on the throne dwells within you. What comes forth from your mouth? Words. Words come forth from your mouth. Just think for a moment. If you are really in tune with the Spirit of God that lives within you, what endless possibilities there are for the words that come out of your mouth. Right? Think about that. God spoke all of this into being. All he did was speak. And because of the power that he is, it happened. It was created. God has placed within us the ability to, in some respects, do the same type of thing. When we are truly connected to him and speak his words, miracles happen. That's what happened in Scripture. Through the Old Testament prophets, the Spirit of God came upon them and they spoke, and what happened? All sorts of things, whether it was they prophesied or whether there were healings or raising people from the dead, because they spoke what God told them to speak. So it's important for us not only to know the Word of God, the Bible, but also to be in tune with him. And so in tune with him that he can use us to speak forth his word rather than our word and accomplish wonderful things simply by speaking it into existence. Speaking healing to someone that is sick. Speaking life to someone who has passed away. I believe that God desires that for his children. But we have to be in tune with him. James speaks about the need to control our tongues. As it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I need to be sure that the abundance that is in my heart is the Spirit of God and not my own fleshly desires. But if the abundance that is in my heart is the Spirit of God, the words that come forth are going to be life, and they will accomplish great things for the Lord. That's all he did was speak, and things happened. We can do the same. But we need to be close to Him. We need to be in tune with Him. So that when He, by His Spirit, speaks to us and we recognize what He wants us to do or what He wants us to say, that we open our mouths and out it comes. And it will happen. And that's what happened with the apostles and all the miracles that they performed. Think about, likewise, the centurion that came to Jesus and said, "My servant is sick. Please heal him." And Jesus said, "Okay, I'll come. Take me to your servant." And the centurion said, "No, you don't have to come. Just say the word and my servant will be healed." See, he understood that all Jesus had to do was say the word. And that's all we have to do when we are truly connected to God and to His Spirit. And His Spirit lives within each one of you. The same power that created this world and the entire universe, as vast as it is, lives within each one of you. The potential is there. The potential is there for the words that you speak to perform miracles. All it takes is to make the connection. If your heart is so full, if the abundance of your heart is so full of the Spirit of God, it will happen. It will happen. We read in Ephesians 6 about the armor of God. It says, put on the full armor of God. Everything, all of the implements of our spiritual warfare are defensive in nature except one. You have the helmet of salvation. You have the breastplate of righteousness. You're to be girded with truth. The shield of faith. The shoes that you put on. Everything is defensive in nature except one. It says, and take up the sword of the Spirit. And that's here in Ephesians 6:17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I have in parentheses there spoken because the original Greek word is the word rhema as opposed to logos. Rhema means the spoken word. The sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God. He has given us that as a weapon to fight spiritual battles. What can that accomplish? That can accomplish anything. When we are speaking the Word of God. And here again, we need to know what's in the Bible, what His written Word is, because there are times when He will prompt us to speak His written Word, whether it's ministering one to another, or preaching, or doing whatever. But there are other times when He prompts us to say something that is not necessarily written in His Word, but coincides with what is, to accomplish wonderful things. Okay. The sword of the Spirit, the spoken Word of God. There's so much that He has made available to us. There is so much potential within each and every one of us because the Spirit of God resides within us. We do not fully understand or comprehend the power that resides within us. And in a sense, that's by God's grace because we are jars of clay. We are earthen vessels. How can you contain the power of God within you, or God Himself, but yet He lives within us, and He wants to use us, not just our hands, not just our feet, not just our resources, but our words, the mouth that He has given us to speak forth His word That's what he wants us to use as well. And it is the words that we speak that have that can have such a tremendous impact on people. Think about the good that a simple compliment or a word of encouragement or even a phone call does. How much more when we are fully connected to him and speak forth his word. Think about the possibilities. Think about that. Dwell on it. Cry out to God. Say, Lord, I want more of you in my heart. I want to be more like Jesus. And that's all he had to do was speak. You notice here at the bottom, I have additional references and examples, and I would challenge you to read those. I'm not going to. I already have. The first one, of course, is Genesis 1, and all the times that it is written, and God said. Read those, the whole chapter. Then there are other references. There's a couple in Psalms, and then some in the Gospels, and in Acts, which give you examples of his people speaking and something miraculous happening. And that should encourage you. You're no different than they were. None of you are any different. They're no better. The apostles were no better. They were all human beings, just like us, needing salvation. They were sinners, saved by grace, just like us. If the Lord used them in such special ways, why can't he use us in the same way? We need to believe. We need to draw near to God and have the abundance of his Spirit in our heart. And out of that abundance, our mouth can speak forth. Wonderful miracles can happen. Pray about it. Read these scriptures. Ask the Lord if it's true. He'll confirm it to you. And then pray and draw near to him. Okay? And believe and trust him that as you speak forth what he gives you to speak, that things will happen. And that will encourage you even more and more and more. We could be such a powerful congregation here. No matter how small we may think we are, we can be more than the little church that could, but the little church that does. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the truth of your word here sink in to our hearts deeply and take root. May your word, Lord, touch us. May you speak forth blessings upon us, that our understanding might be opened, that we might believe and exercise the faith that is necessary to draw nearer to you, Lord, and to speak forth the words that you give us to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Bless this church, Lord. Bless your people here. These are people that love you and want to serve you. Touch us, Lord, in the same way that you used the apostles and the prophets of old. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.